If you'd like to take your Bibles and open to John chapter 15, John chapter 15. I'm going to be reading the first 11 verses from the New American Standard Bible. Whatever version you have, please follow along, beginning in verse 1. John chapter 15, verse 1, by the way, children's Bible instruction, downstairs, through elementary school, up through sixth grade. Now is your time. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us this passage, these words to his disciples. And Father, I ask this morning that you, by your Holy Spirit, speak freshly to us in this hour, that you communicate with our spirit, that you open the eyes of our understanding, and that you open the ears of the Spirit, that we may hear and comprehend and understand those things that were so vitally important that they occupied some of the last hours of Jesus' time with his disciples to communicate the importance of these truths. And I want to ask this morning that you touch our hearts, that you help us to understand how you're working in our lives, and that we would today be willing to submit to your divine authority and receive with gratitude the work that you're doing in order to achieve the beauty and the effectiveness that you desire. We ask that you move upon us through the words of this scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have kind of been praying over going back to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I just felt like it wasn't the time to do that yet. And as I kind of considered where we are as a church and where we're headed and what God is doing among us right at this time, I have sensed a great need in my own heart to be reminded of my dependence on Jesus Christ. And as I was kind of thinking through those things, God brought up to me the 15th chapter of John, this great passage in the vine, and I really began to be impressed that we needed to spend a few weeks refreshing all of our minds and hearts about our need to be abiding in the vine, which is Jesus Christ. And so, over the next few weeks of time, we're going to be considering this passage together, and this morning I want to look at verses 1 and 2, where Jesus says very clearly, I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and you are the branches. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and the branches that bear fruit, he prunes them that they can bear more fruit. Now, you know, there are a couple of things that stand out in these two verses. to begin with. First of all, Jesus says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. I have always felt that there was something mystical and significant about that statement, the true vine. And I was delighted as I kind of reviewed some of the material this week to learn that Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown agree with me. Not that that's terribly important, but it's just nice to know that we're on the same page with some pretty good Bible scholars. That what Jesus is actually saying here is, I'm the original. What you see on earth is a copy, an example of the original. I'm the true vine. And the things that grow here on this planet are copies that I have put here for the express purpose of explaining to you a unique relationship that will exist between my disciples and myself and my Father. You know, it's interesting, and I this is my own opinion, okay? So you have to take it that way, but I have a feeling that one day when we get to heaven, new heavens, new earth, you know, it is a new heaven and it is a new earth. And there's going to be plants and all kind of stuff going on and all those kinds of things and animals and stars and moons. And I don't know what it's all going to contain, but it's new heavens and new earth. That in that state of glory for all eternity, we're going to be able to study and meditate and contemplate how everything in creation reveals some specific character of God, the Creator. Because nothing is here by mistake. And even the things that we see corrupted are going to be restored in that heavenly future kingdom. And we're going to find out the significance, I think, of everything that God has made, because all of it speaks to us of His glory and tells His story. And Jesus, I believe, is saying to us in this passage, I put vines on this earth to tell you something about me. And I want you to connect with that and learn it. Now, Jesus was speaking to an audience that knew about growing grapes. How many of you grow grapes? How many of you have grapevines? Okay, a few of you do. Well, I've never had a grapevine, although I was kind of inspired this week. I might want to go out and get some. I don't know. You know, I said it'd be kind of hard to raise sheep in the backyard, but I might be able to raise grapes. Because all of these things are put there to tell us something. And Jesus uses divine analogies, divine illustrations to communicate. And you know, he says, I'm the great shepherd and you're my sheep. You know one of the characteristics of sheep? They don't do very well on their own. Sheep need a shepherd. Cows, you can throw them out in North Texas and they'll just root around and become ornery and they'll survive. But sheep need a shepherd. There's a relationship of dependency. The shepherd has to keep track of them. The shepherd has to prepare the fields for them. The shepherd has to pull up the poison plants or the sheep will eat the stuff. You know, the sheep just need help. And you know what's interesting about grapevines? Now, I'm no horticulturist, but I did a crash course this past week in vine growing, and I learned some interesting things. Did you know that grapevines, untended, just produce nothing. They grow wild, they go all over the place, they get all tangled up, they make a mess, and they don't produce any fruit. And so as I began to consider the relationships, I started asking myself the question as I was studying raising grapes, what is it about this relationship between the branches and the vine and the vine dresser that Jesus wants us to understand? What is there that He's trying to communicate to us? What is He saying about Himself about his Father and about our lives that is so essential that he said, in essence, I put grapevines down here so you would know how you're related to me. Well, as I mentioned, one of the first things is, if you don't take care of them, they don't do what they were intended to do. A grapevine is a vine. It will lay down on the ground, climb up anything in its path, grow all over everything, produce all kinds of shoots and branches, produce thousands and thousands of leaves, and hardly any fruit. Little tiny nubbins, you know, just enough to seed to keep the thing going. But vines need a vine dresser. If they don't have a vine dresser, they are never effective for their intended purpose. And so Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Now, one of the things that we can get into here, if we're not careful, we start looking into this grapevine stuff, and you read in this passage, you know, if branches aren't bearing fruit, he whacks them off, throws them away, and whatever. And if you don't know anything about grapevines, you have a tendency to think one branch equals one person, you know? And sometimes we err in biblical interpretation in taking an analogy or an illustration and pushing it to extremes that God never intended. Jesus is not talking here about one branch equals one person and he lops people off. He's talking here about how the vine dresser pays attention to the vine in order to make it fruitful. And I learned that every branch has shoots and other branches and little runners and whatever. And the vine dresser takes each branch and pays attention to it. And so there's that pruning process that goes on. And we need to look at this passage and not think in terms of, oh, this is all about eternal security, or this is about getting whacked off, you know, from the vine. This passage is about the Father's care and the Son's provision. It's a passage about the tenderness and the particular emphasis that God pays in each one of our lives. So vines need a vine dresser, because if they're untended, they go wild. Another thing that I learned is that the basic root, the basic cane of the vine, the thing that puts its roots into the soil, vines can grow almost anywhere. Grapevines can grow almost anywhere. In fact, if you look at a world map of grape growing, you find that grapes are grown on virtually every continent and nearly every country. They can grow in lush valleys. They can grow in arid highlands. They can grow where winters are harsh. They can grow in the tropics. They can grow almost any place because grapevines have an interesting property. The vine itself, the trunk that puts down the roots, is capable of pulling out of the soil whatever is necessary to be effective in producing the vine. Whether it's water or chemicals or nutrients or whatever is needed, that basic trunk of the vine can find it in the soil. And if there's too little water, it knows how to manage that situation. If the soil is too much this or too much that, it knows how to manage. And the interesting thing is, I learned a lot about winemaking too, but I'm not going to go into that in detail. Christian Missionary Alliance Church, I don't know what you'd think of me, so I'll just kind of leave that out a little bit. But it's the pH of the soil, it's the chemicals of the soil, it's the nutrients that give each vine a different flavor, a different aroma, that produces all the different kinds of flavors. And so the trunk of the vine has the capacity to pull the nutrients together to produce the fruit of the vine. Another thing is that grapevines have to be pruned. They have to be tended and they have to be pruned. If you don't prune a vine, what happens is it just grows more of itself instead of fruit. I thought that was kind of interesting. It puts out more shoots. It puts out more little branches. It produces more leaves. And if you don't pay any attention to it at all, it just continues to produce vine, and whatever grapes it produces are little tiny things that have no fruity value. They're not tasty. They're just not good for much. In order to make a vine fruitful, it has to be pruned. In fact, I want to read you. Well, there's an excerpt up here on the screen from Shel Warman, Department of Horticulture. I think that's a university in California. That didn't come out in my printing for some reason, but she says, purposeful pruning is essential for controlling the number, position, and vigor of fruiting canes and the yield and quality of the fruit. Here's another comment on pruning. When pruning, keep in mind that fruit is produced on the current season's growth that in turn grows from last season's wood. Does that speak to you about freshness? Does that speak to you about something ongoing? That last year's wood sends out shoots that become this year's fruit-producing branches. And that it's a process that goes on every year. You know, you can never say, okay, I've had my bunch, now I'm done. Because that won't happen next year unless there's some pruning that goes on to allow new growth. Heavy pruning provides the best fruit. Heavy pruning provides the best fruit. Light pruning results in large yields of poor quality fruit. Very heavy pruning produces too much vegetative growth and very little or no fruit. You say, oh, wait a minute. How can very heavy pruning produce too much vegetative growth? Well, if you cut the thing all the way down, in order to support the roots, it has to make more leaves. And so it'll turn all of its energy into leaf production because there has to be a balance between roots and leaves. But if you underprune, you get just all kind of branches and no fruit. You have to know exactly how to prune heavy enough to create a vine that will produce lush fruit. You notice those illustrations up there. She's illustrating a vine in the beginning of the season and then getting it ready for spring. And you see on the left side the unpruned vine, and on the right side, this is in a system called the Niffen system, which is a two-wire system. The first wire is 36 inches high, and the next one is 60 inches high, or 2 feet above it. And they train the vine to have four branches. And those four branches run out opposite each other along the wires. And then every season, they select the most promising buds or little shoots. And then they trim the rest off, and they keep developing that vine to grow along the wires so that there's just exactly the right amount of vegetation, maybe four shoots coming out, and all of the product of the vine goes into the fruit. Another interesting thing is that all the pruning is done in winter. In this part of the country, it's done in January, February, early March, before the buds begin to form. It keeps the vine from bleeding. Interesting comment. It keeps the vine from weeping or bleeding. And as you trim it back in winter, You're getting it ready with what the vine dresser envisions the spring to be. And then finally, I discovered that, and I grew up in Florida where bananas were kind of plentiful. And or they'd come in on the boats, and sometimes, you know, when I was little especially, we'd go out to meet the banana boats, and we'd get a big bunch of bananas. And you'd bring those home, and they would ripen up. You know, you bring a green banana home, and it turns yellow. You probably do that when you pick them out in the store. But you know something about grape clusters? They will only ripen on the vine. If you pick them prematurely, that's the end. They will never get any better. In fact, they turn color long before the flavor develops its fullness. And so the only way to really know that a cluster of grapes is ready to be plucked is if you sample it and taste it for flavor. And when it reaches the peak flavor, that's the time to harvest the cluster. If you pick it before, you have fruit that is lacking in the richness and fullness that it was intended to have. It has to stay connected to the vine through the branch until the very last minute. And then it can be harvested and enjoyed. Well, you know, these characteristics about vines were things that Jesus' disciples knew about. There were vineyards all over the place. People might have two or three grapevines in their yard, or there might be a small vineyard in someone's area where they had other things, and they would work on their own little vines. And people all over that part of the country understood the principles that Jesus was trying to bring out to them as he explained to them the relationship that had to exist between them and himself and the Father. You know, Jesus is communicating to us how essential it is that we stay connected to the vine in order to be fruitful. There's not a branch on the planet that has the capacity to pull the nutrients and the supply that is needed to make fruit. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. It's not that what you do will be weak or minimum or different. It's that it won't exist. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I am essential in the process. But the other thing that we learn from the care of vines is that the vine dresser is also essential. They will not produce left alone. They need a caregiver, a vine dresser, who is going to, and get this, you know, yesterday it was a beautiful day and things are starting to bud, and my bushes in the front of the house have started going just shoots everywhere. And so I got a pair of hedge clippers, and I just went out there, and I just whacked willy-nilly. Well, not exactly, but, you know, I made sure that the shoots weren't sticking into the sidewalk or over the porch or up above the windows. I just cut, just whack, you know, 5, 6, 7 at a time. They're shrubs, no problem. But you don't prune a grapevine like that. The vine dresser knows the vine. He has studied it every year. He has trained its branches. The vine dresser goes out with a small knife or a little clipper, a little scissor-like, and one at a time studies each shoot and looks at the ones that are most promising. And then he clips off the others. And then he works with developing the ones he has preserved. And he begins to train the vine in such a way that it'll produce the fruit. The vine dresser knows the vine, and he knows every branch. And I don't care how big the vineyard, it's a one shoot at a time by an intelligent, aware, vineyard keeper who goes out one by one and prepares those vines. And God does his pruning time in the winter of our seasons. Isn't that interesting? You know, if you're like me, sunshine, green leaves, and bunches of fruit, I like that all the time. Let me just live a fruitful life. Let me have a life that's just full of bounty. You know, I love that kind of life. Everything's going great. Stuff's happening. You know, I'm not talking about financial blessings and wealth. I'm talking about life fullness. But one of the things that we learn from the vine is that in the winter of life is when God is doing his selecting and his choosing and his pruning and his design and purpose. He knows what he's after. And in the winter of our lives, when it looks like everything's dead and nothing's happening, the vine dresser is doing his most important work to prepare us and to equip us. As we spend the next few weeks in this passage, Jesus wants us to understand this relationship, the Father's intimate attention to every detail, the vital necessity of the trunk of the vine, which is the source of all supply, and the relationship of the branches in the middle between the vine and the vine dresser, producing fruit that looks like Jesus in all of its qualities. Well, do you know the seven last words of the church? We've never done it this way before. I have been very greatly burdened that we get what God wants to say to us and that we assimilate it into our lives and listen to it. And so I've prepared some discussion questions this morning. There's probably come up on the screen. There we go. What is the most significant truth you learned this morning? In what ways can you now see that the Father may prune our lives? What times in our lives are most likely to be times of pruning? Now, we just said winter, but that's what time you prune a grapevine. What are the kinds of times in your life that God may be pruning you when it doesn't look like it's terribly fruitful? And what times are most likely to be fruitful? And I want to ask you to do something this morning that may test your comfort zone, but we're going to do this in big enough groups that it doesn't threaten you too much. Groups of 8 or 10, and you can just find those clusters all around, no pun intended. And I want you to take about 5 or 6 minutes and just turn around to the people around you and talk about these questions. Will you try that with me this morning? How do these things impact you? Just talk, or just turn around and talk. You can do that right now. Just turn around and talk about these questions, and then I'm going to lead you in a response in about 5 minutes. If you need a leader, pick a leader. Take about 2 seconds to do that. Somebody volunteer, okay? Don't get yourself in a situation, okay, where you go around the circle, because honestly, I don't want anyone to feel like they're just trapped and they got to talk and it's, you know. But take these questions and just share them back and forth a little bit and talk about what you got out of it so that God can begin to build this down into our lives, okay? So if you need a leader, pick a leader and take about 2 minutes per question. Share your thoughts. And if you don't feel like speaking, you don't have to. Nobody's on the spot here, but take time to discuss the concepts. Okay. If I could get you to begin to point this way again for a little bit. Just need to create enough of an aisle so that our elders can get through and serve communion. You don't have to put your chairs back exactly right. Just, you know, it's interesting just sitting up and just kind of focusing my attention in different parts of the room and hearing little snippets of conversation and picking things out. I heard one comment that the vine dresser trains the vine in the way it would go, you know. Isn't that interesting? It takes a vine dresser to point it in the right direction. And so even to the direction of our lives, and all of those kinds of things are in the hands of the vine dresser. You know, when Joshua was getting ready to go into the land of Canaan, Moses had died, and Joshua was feeling a little bit on the spot, and God came to him, and he gave him these words. He says, Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." That word meditate is a curious word. It actually comes from the concept of ruminate, and it's what a cow does with cud. Do you know cows have about 5 stomachs, and they keep burping this stuff up and gnawing on it again? That's a wonderful image before lunch, isn't it? But the, you know, you see them kind of standing in the shade or laying in the shade, they're ruminating. Because the Word of God has incredible depth. You'll never get it at a first brush. It has incredible depth. And in this illustration of the vine, there is incredible depth. And God wants us to think about it. He wants us to ruminate on it, to bring it up to mind again and again, and to think in His presence and with His help. What does this mean to me? How does this apply to me? What is God saying to me? We're going to share the Lord's table in just a moment. I have some prayer questions for you. This is for you personally. Are you abiding in the vine? Are you plugged in? Nothing is going to happen in your life if you and I are not connected to Jesus. He is the source. Are you submitting to the Father's pruning? You know, I remember now there was one slide, I don't know what Carrie did with it because I wasn't looking, but there was one slide that probably went, because there's one time when the vine dresser has to prune the vine besides winter, and it's when the growth goes wild, and this shoot takes off with more energy than sense, and just goes nuts out there, and in the springtime, the vine dresser may have to clip that one back, because it's a wild shoot. Are you submitting to the Father's pruning? Are you letting Him do what He wants to do in your life? What season are you in? You may not know, but He does. Sometimes when life seems its bleakest and everything you've hoped for seems to be dashed to nothing, and all of your dreams seem to have crashed to the ground, it may be February, just before the spring, and the Father is preparing you for incredible growth in the next season. Do you know where you are in the process? What decision do you need to make today to fully cooperate with both the vine and the vine dresser? What's God saying to you? As you shared with each other and you exchanged ideas and the Holy Spirit was dealing with your heart and you were thinking of the application of the vine, what is God saying to you? this morning? What is he asking? What does he want you to do? I guarantee you, whatever it is, it's some kind of surrender, because all the work gets done here by the vine and the vine dresser. The branches rest in Jesus, and the Father grooms them to produce the fruit. In what way do you need to yield to the process? What is God doing? And as we share the table with the Lord, will you allow the Holy Spirit of God to deal with those issues in your life? If you're a guest with us today, I want you to know that communion time is the Lord's table. It's not ours. And so if this is your first time to be with us, you're free to participate. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to share this time with us. The elders will come and distribute the elements, and we just simply ask that you hold those elements until everyone's been served, and then we'll have a prayer of thanksgiving together. And I want not to neglect to say that if there's anyone here this morning who has realized in this whole discussion that you're not even in the vine, never have been, you're some other kind of plant. The vine dresser will gladly graft you into Jesus right now today. Before communion even reaches your seat, the vine dresser will gladly graft you into Jesus if you will acknowledge your condition. I need to be in the vine. I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven of my sin. I'm a wild plant. I need to be cleansed and forgiven. I need to come into Christ. I need to invite him into my life. I need his source and his supply. And I want to yield this morning to his lordship. I want to be grafted into the vine. And I want to come under the Father's care. He will gladly bring you in. Even as fast as I said it, in the twinkling of an eye, with a surrendered heart, Jesus Christ will receive you into himself and make you a part of his kingdom. And if you have not made that decision, I urge you, right where you sit, to make it here now this morning.